This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Just yet another beautiful day here in Hawaii. I spent the better part of last week over on the Big Island, up there walking around in the Mamani Nile forested area, up at Pu'ula'au, at the base of Mauna Kea, looking for the palila. There are some concerns. That's a Hawaiian honey creeper that... There's some concerns with its population, and we will be having a couple of talks on that in the near future. It does not look good for the palila, rather dismal, due to numerous things, the lack of habitat and some of the invasive species and what have you. But anyway, had time to go over there and look into the issue on the strawberry guava, and as I say, we'll be bringing those to the table and discussing them, and I've invited some people to come in the coming weeks. Anyway, I appreciate you joining in with me today, and I have many subjects, but one in particular that I'm concerned with and would like to share with you, we've seen it in the paper, and that is the Gulick Street Avenue. And this is consistent with what I have shared with you as listeners over the past months about government and its ability to serve the people that vote for them. And I recently brought you a subject matter on the Capital Body Shop there in Kalihi, where there's overspray and fumes impacting the community and little or nothing being done. The city and county of Honolulu, fire department, state health department, clean air branch. And again, this is in Senator Suzanne Chan Oakland's district and City Councilman Romy Cocholo's district, and all falling under the management of Mufi Hanneman and his administration, who the DPP of the Department of Planning and Permitting. So once again, the old ugly monster of neglect rears its head. And that is, I see the contrast, or I see the differences here, and I don't want to call them a parallel, because I'm going to be stepping across the line here. But the city and county of Honolulu under Mayor Hanneman really don't have any reluctancy, I would say, describe it, in evicting people from the parks. Very aggressive, which means you have to expend quite a bit of resources, manpower, money, and what have you, and chase the people away. But how did the Gulick Street Avenue, or Gulick Avenue residents there at 1732 Gulick Avenue, come about? Well, if you read some of the reports in the paper, they touch on a few points. But the real issues are, if you want to see and have a true opportunity to evaluate or assess the effectiveness or the service that your government provides you, I think this Gulick Avenue situation is the perfect example. You have an opportunity to look at the way Romy Cocholo handles things. You get to see how Hanneman has handled things. You get to see the other legislators that are responsible for that district. You would have to see this facility to understand. The pictures you see in the paper really does no justice. I was there yesterday viewing it and walking around, and I was moved. And I was moved by the fact that there, they say 50 people in today's paper say nearly 100 people were living there. Well, I'm here to tell you that there, somewhere about us, there's 100 angels that are exhausted and tired because those people getting out of there, they overworked their angels that day. Because, folks, if you see what it is, the pictures, I say absolutely does it no justice. You just can't believe how fortunate people were in not being killed or maimed. And it was just bad. And it still is bad. How did it get there? Well, for starts, I don't see it in the paper anywhere. Nobody's willing to report that. But I want to share with you that on November 30th, 2006, Mayor Mufi Hanneman wrote to a resident there on Gulick Avenue informing that individual that he would be, this is in response to your letter of November 1, 2006, regarding your concerns of gang and drug activities occurring in your neighborhood, and Police Chief Boise Carrera has informed me that the district crime reduction unit, blah, blah, blah. And in that complainant's letter, he informed the mayor that there were some problems with the building. And also, the mayor is CC'd a number of these copies. So he knew. So he should have put his foot down. I mean, the same elements of concern that he has at the parks and at our beaches with the homeless, he should have been equally or more aggressive, because this system posed a greater threat to the people, the potential of it collapsing. People living down in the stream, encroaching on adjoining properties, all of that. But just to give you a little timeline, and I'm going to be switching around here. And again, if you want to call in, it's 524-1080, and I invite you to share your comments. But we're going to start with just we had complaints or violations, one in 2002. Four in 2003, one in 2004, three in 2005. We had five in 2006, three in 2007, and four in 2008. So, Henry Ng is one of Hanneman's appointees. He's a member of the mayor's cabinet. This Gulick incident is Hanneman. DPP's records show that first the request for investigations, or RFIs, was made by citizens in 2002. We can't hold him accountable for that. But in the full term of his administration, he has had oversight. Upon entering office, there has been complaint after complaint after complaint. And here are some of the notices of violation, and to let you know that there were 21 public complaints, a request for investigations. August 14, 2002, there was a complaint that there was a bus on the property. January 31, 2003, a wall was being constructed improperly. March 31, 2003, illegal dwelling units. April 7, 2003, alterations without permit and people living in two rooms. October 30th, 2003, people living in tents. July 13th, 2004, too many people living in the house. There's a second kitchen. These are the complaints. February 11th, 2005, two units, eight unrelated people in tents. April 11th, 2005, construction to the rear of the dwelling in progress. May 9th, 2005, homeless shelter being built without a permit. April 20th, 2006, nature of complaint not listed in that one, but it was there. May 1, 2006, sewage ejector broken, sewage flowing into the Kalihi stream. Illegal toilet in yard. May 5th, 2006, illegal construction at site. December 13th, 2006, litter on property. December 19th, 2006, owner has made addition on one side of the house. January 3rd, 2007, owner has put tarps on dwelling. July 6, 2007, put up illegal structures. August 3rd, 2007, building violations, putting up canvas and scaffolds. April 7, 2008, continuum of violations previously reported in August of 2007, canvas and scaffolding. July 16, 2008, residents have built an illegal structure in the river. August 12, 2008, residents building without a permit. September 30th, 2008, illegal renovation structure, multi-level additions. Now, you might think that this is a holdover from the Harris administration, but Hanneman, as I said, himself wrote letters ensuring the public and the individual complainants that he would be doing something. And the Honolulu fire chief appeared on television saying that he had warned Henry Ng, the director of the Department of Planning and Permitting, a long time ago before this collapse, that the building was unsafe and a danger to the public and life and safety. Now, I applaud the fire chief for coming out and speaking out, but I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not overly impressed with that, because let's take, for example, the fire chief is one is responsible for going around looking at fire codes and building codes or what have you to determine if they're safe or unsafe or what have you. So if you go into a bar and there's 800 people and there's a capacity that says it's only allowed 300 and there's pyrotechnics going off in the bar and they're having fun and partying and dancing up a storm, what does the fire chief do? Is he waiting? Let the party go on and wait and call Henry Ng the following day and send a letter? Or does he take an action? Does he call upon his expertise, which we hired him for, to evaluate? Clearly he had made an assessment that this was unsafe and posed a threat to human safety. So how is it that we can so freely speak in these fashions that he openly tell us that he called Henry Ng? What I would like to have heard from him or read his statement was that he telephoned the police and based upon his assessment that it posed an immediate threat to the public and the people that live there and then caused it to shut it down. That didn't happen. So, once again, are we getting our money's worth when we hire and appoint these individuals? These are professionals, and I think we have some strict standards. If we don't, we should improve upon them, because this entire situation is simply not any good. It's just bad business. And if I wish to paint my house, for example, yellow, I have to go get a permit, and they ride my back, and I can't do much of anything. So how is it that an individual can build a four-story shack as just dangerous just looking at it? You get a little nervous. So how could it have happened in that way? Well, there were reports of investigations from Romy Cocciola, what they call a riser. The city councilman writes and asks the city DPP to look into the matter. And there were at least three of those over a period of time, I'd say a year and a half. Now, at some point, Mr. Cocciola should have said, well, we're not getting anywhere, and I see this building is expanding. We need to do something about it. He could have gone before the zoning committee. He could have gone before the police department, file a complaint. But what is happening, our leaders and our elected officials have gotten in this mode, as I've described before. You as a citizen call upon their office to serve you. They in turn take a letter of form type, send it in, and they have divested themselves of satisfied their purpose, apparently, in their minds, that they've taken care of your problem. Then you write them again. And it's the same cycle. So this speaks to the let's vote smart. You have a right. And when you see this behavior, the Gulick Street matter should be a wake-up call to every community, to Kalihi, Waianae, Waimanalo, all of those communities who have leaders that simply talk the talk but don't walk the walk. They write your letter, and you're supposed to go away and endure the issue that you complain about. And it's simply wrong. It's absolutely inexcusable. And you can't tell me that, as we see in the commercials, Hanneman, for example, talks about his Hana Butter days, Kalihi. Now, I've brought to you the Capital Auto Body Shop incident where people are overwhelmed by fumes and having called hazmat and getting sickened by the fumes. And that's in Kalihi, the Hana Butter days. We see that the Gulick Street, and there are many others up there. I was there yesterday, and I saw some other areas and some other things occurring that would absolutely be considered a violation in other places. We have to look at something. When we take these notices of violation, now the state of Hawaii, for example, Department of Health wrote complaints where people were dumping fecal matter and waste, human waste, on the ground in the neighborhood and in the streams. Now, that in itself was bad. So here are some of the notices of violation that were, and you got to understand it, this is kind of a difficult subject, because when you read in the papers, you read a few violations were given and on and on and on. But it doesn't drive home the point, and I hope to do that. They've already identified the owners on the record. Now, there's been a discussion that some gave their ownership or their portion of the ownership to someone else, and I haven't. But the official documents show that Luita Santos of Gulick Street in Honolulu and a Grace D. Santos as owners and a George Jenkins as owners. Now, in 2003, notice of violation 2003/NOV 11-2004, two tents have been erected on the property. Remove the tents. Now, this is issued by DPP in 2003. And follow me now. There's been a discussion also that we need more people in DPP. They are short of staff. Well, I can assure you this situation got the necessary visitation, and the manpower was more than adequate. It's just that somewhere the elected officials and the administrators dropped the ball. Here's another violation on July 27, 2004. The dwelling on the 5,942 square feet property in a R5 residential zone is occupied by 6 roomers. The dwelling may be occupied by 5 roomers. Okay, here's another violation, March 15, 2005. Metal frame structures with plastic top covering were erected to the rear and left sides of the property. Please remove the above mention or obtain a building permit. Now, right there is a problem. You are an official for the city Department of Planning and Permitting. You have an expertise. That's what they hired you for. You are a building inspector. I can go there in my most boring moments and know that this is not safe and it does not meet or comply with the building codes. If some of you know about the tents that you use, the gray tarp that you put the steel pole in or the metal pole in to at the park to block the sun, that's what this was made of, and doors and furniture and false floorings and what have you. Stack that up on a downslope. You are bound to have a tragedy somewhere sometime soon. So this is another May 12, 2005, metal frame tarp addition are constructed on the left and rear of the existing dwelling. Please remove these tarp structures within the time specified. An open wooden floor area is added at the rear without a permit. Obtain the required permit for the addition with the time specified herein. Why would they bother to write such a violation notice when they know the manner in which it was built doesn't meet the specs and the material is substandard, it doesn't even come up to code? So why would they tell them to get a building permit? Now, here's an interesting point. In one of the documents, that it reflects that on June 12, 2005, a permit, it states, a permit will not be issued for the metal frame tarp additions. Please remove the structures within the time specified herein. Failure to comply may result in civil fines and actions. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here and share with you just how nonsensical things can get when it comes to the city administration. Now, again, this is June 12, 2005, where they're advising you will not get a permit. But in 2008, they're being informed, let me just get my bearings here, they're being informed that you can go ahead and put in for a permit, but right now you're shut down, but you have 48 hours to get a permit, and that came on October 28th of 2008, after it collapsed. So here's a situation where, this is from Henry Ng. Why would he bother to write such a letter when the damage is already done? The place is already collapsed. Why would he then tell the person, you have 48 hours? Here it is here. On October 28, 2008, pursuant to Chapter 16, Revised Ordinance of Honolulu, Section 2001, Unsafe Buildings, the Department of Planning and Permitting declares a single-family dwelling and collapsed scaffold tarp structure located at 1732 Gulick Avenue, Honolulu, structurally unsafe and dangerous to human life. These structures are determined to be public nuisance and shall be abated by compliance with building and housing code regulations, which include the demolition of the scaffold and structure. You are commanded to obtain a building permit for the existing dwelling within 48 hours and complete all work within 90 days from the date of receipt of this notice. The dwelling shall not be occupied or entered except for the purpose of securing the dwelling from trespass and proceedings with the required work. That's absolutely nonsensical. You have an inspector visiting the site from DPP informing the individual that there are no permits to be issued, you will not get a permit, and you shall shut down. And then about 3 years later, Henry Ng, their boss, or the administrator, handpicked by Mufi Hanneman, writes them after it has collapsed, 3 days or 4 days after it has collapsed, the facility collapsed, telling them they need to go get a building permit. Now, why would they do that? It's election time. And that letter posted out there to the unsuspecting, oh, it satisfies the needs. But folks, this speaks specifically to the distractions that we have experienced in city government with all of our projects, with building. And remember now, this is the same administration that say we're going to streamline the process of building permits. And we're going to make this move fast so that we can, there's a log jam. And then they tell us we need more people. We don't need to hire anyone else for this process because it worked, folks. The problem is they just didn't follow through. Now, they also told the individual back in 2005 that they were going to file a lien against his property. They were going to tag his driver's license so that if he didn't pay the fines and correct the problem, he wouldn't get a driver's license. So what happened to that? Nothing. But what did happen, DPP, after all of the violations, did in fact refer this to in 2005 referred it to the Corporation Council. That's the city lawyers, let's say. City lawyers sat on it, and they in turn gave it back to the city DPP. And their explanation was, or reasoning for giving it back, was simple. The violator did not respond to our legal demand, so therefore we're giving it back to you and you take care of it. So the cycle started all over again. And I'm reading some of the accounts and talking to some of the people that lived around there. There were children, there were older people, there were a number of different types of people, single and married and what have you. All of these people were subjected to a danger and exposed to a danger. So I understand some of them have obtained a lawyer, and if their attorney is interested, you're more than welcome to contact me, and I will provide you the information that we've been able to obtain. But again, this is absolutely didn't just start yesterday. The current administration, had an opportunity to do what was right. It could have been resolved in an instant, but instead it was prolonged, and I don't see the political explanation as to why or who benefited politically from this, and why didn't they go ahead and just simply shut this person down, as they just did on the 28th. So you go there now, and there's a sign, it's locked up, there's a police tape. Why couldn't that have happened 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when it first came to their attention, when they saw it rising some four stories? Why didn't they do that? But anyway, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show, and I'm at 524-1080. I have a caller. You hold on 1 minute. Anyway, the situation here is horrendous, and I noticed there was an article that said we needed to hire more people. We don't need to hire anybody. We need to fire a great many of them. I got Celeste on the phone. Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Hey, Mr. Cox, I just wanted to thank you for being a watchdog for our environment. I live in Mililani, too, and I know that the MTA takes over a lot of the work of this, you know, what the city and county normally do. But I just can't understand how this Henry Ng could procrastinate, and how whoever's responsible for this building with nothing happening for years and years at a time. I saw the structure on television last night. I couldn't believe that that could go on for such a long time, and these people paying rent for a lean-to, for a tent. And you know what I hope is that this man who was who hurt himself, who fell through the floor, can you imagine, and who's in the hospital now, I hope that that he sues who's ever responsible for this, including the city.
Mm-hmm.
For
that was going to be my question. As a citizen and a taxpayer, what's your opinion? Do you think we got our best service for our dollars, that the high dollars that we spend on tax dollars?
Are you kidding? I wonder where the taxes are really going. I mean, this is such a clear-cut violation that has gone on for years. As you said, it would start it off with Harrison and Musi, who loves Honolulu so much. It makes me sick how much he loves Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this can go on, and these poor people have to suffer while someone is just pocketing the money and putting. The structure is incredible. I mean, on television, you know, here in Mililani, we can't even build leave an appliance outside without getting a notice, or putting up a notice that you know, who were in favor to vote for, or anything, was, and we're told, hey, you know, this is not good for aesthetically for the environment, it's for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And yet something like that could go on, and Mr. Hahnemann claims he loves Honolulu. What kind of a hypocrisy is that?
Well, you know, each village or town or section has covenants and restrictions and what have you, but some are unique and some are looser than others, but nowhere in the city and county of Honolulu or in the state of Hawaii is such a structure permitted. And we had, as I've said earlier, we had, these are professional people. Now, when I went there, I went as a photographer and as a person who went to get information and try and do explain this over the air. But these are experts. These are people that in the hiring of them, in the picking of them, in the choosing, they have to demonstrate a certain expertise. The fire chief, the police chief, all of those.
Well, they should be given they should be given their papers, their walking papers, if they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And it's a simple thing. You know, the guy's in violation, and you just go there and say you can't continue year after year. And the neighbors, I really feel sorry for those neighbors.
Yeah, it's demoralizing.
Throwing throwing into the stream the fecal matters of living in such squalor. I mean, we're not a third world country. We're supposed to be a sophisticated country, and you can't believe that this kind of thing could happen right in our beautiful city of Honolulu. And, you know, the people who are overseeing this are seem to be ignoring it. How does Henry Ng stay on the job?
Well, I have my suspicions, and I've conveyed them over the several months and couple of years now, that this whole team, I call it the tag team for Hahnemann. Hahnemann needed to have someone in place to divert the manpower to the rail. You see, a lot of the real issue here is this, and I'm not, this isn't a stretch of my imagination or stretching the facts. Within the Department of Planning and Permitting, who's supposed to do the building permits and all of that, and the land use ordinances or what have you, land use compliance, there's an entire division. A lot of those people have been diverted, and their resources have been diverted to handle issues on the rail, right down to printing brochures within the DPP. So that's why he needed Ng. He also appointed as a deputy, can't think of his name now, but I'll come back with it, but he was a former corporation counsel, and Hahnemann then handpicked him to put him, David Tenoy, to put him in second rank, so that they could run a tag team and get anything that was needed. Whatever, if you notice, anything that Hahnemann wanted, he got it. It was out on the news, but you never heard anything. And, by the way, where is he on the Gulick Street? If you read the paper are very kind to him. They don't even mention his name. But you don't see him there singing. You don't see him there outraged that here in his Hanabata, Daytown and
turn their anything negative for this guy, the newspapers. I don't know how they can do that in any good conscience.
But where's Hahnemann? Do you believe that he should have been there? At least show up? This was major. I mean, he's had many subjects about homelessness and been out there leading the charge on evictions on the beach. Where was he here? Did he? Have we seen his picture?
Let it go on so long.
Yeah. But it's always, it's you know, when someone stand and tell me the proof is in the poi, well, okay, fine. But let me see the proof in the boy, the real man. Let me see him get up.
We're going to see that as long as he stays in.
Yeah.
But I do thank you very much for your all the research that I know you must be doing, because you can't get all those facts and all those dates unless you take the time. So for our environment and for the sake of our beautiful city and county and state. I can't thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
All righty. Aloha. This is the Carol Cox Show, and again, if you'd like to call in, feel free. If you have some disagreements or agreements, call in and share them. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out at greenbedfactory.com. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. If you're interested in getting this or other information, you can go to our website at carolcox.com. That's Carol, CarolCox.com. And the shows are up there. But anyway, the issue on the Gulick Street, Gulick Avenue facility is a shameful one. And I really didn't take an interest until I was informed by some of the residents that lived there how terrified and horrible they felt. And not just seeing that, but they were always nervous that something was going to happen. And so what they've done is imagine writing in for 5, 6, 7 years and complaining to your government. And instead of seeing things diminish, you see it increase as a problem. And the number of people, if remember, originally it was 6 people, and now it's up to 50 and 100. So imagine that might be quite discouraging. So, you know, I won't tell you who to vote for and when to vote, but I will tell you this is what I mean by vote smart. If someone comes and hugs your baby and sings your song in a lullaby, they may be wanting to sing you asleep so they can do some bad things and not serve you as the voting public. Anyway, we have Steve on the line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I kind of think what happened in Gulick Avenue was that they were injecting the building inspectors that showed up with that strange substance.
Ah. I'm not going to argue with you because something went wrong here, Steve. Something went wrong. Maybe we need an inoculation to get the lead out of the butt or something, or give them a reason to care. What do you think it is? I don't know.
I don't know. It's just government inaction and, they're reading the paper and listening to talk shows. But another thing about Hanneman, I think in the case of his boy, Bill Brennan, he should have been fired, not just given a couple days suspension for DUI. If he was caught then, he's been doing it all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's still drinking and driving. So.
Yeah, I don't want to be absurd, but, you know, I think a lot of them over there are having a problem with substance abuse or something, because you can't have a job and a responsibility and then shirk it or just go to the site. Somebody should have been mad and screaming, you know?
Getting back to public officials like DUI, how many public officials have been caught in the past few years with DUI violations? So you got to blame the public for voting them back in. The last one they voted out, who was that?
Ron Manor.
Ron Manor, they voted him out.
Mm-hmm.
But Kiermitzo, they voted him back in. So you got to put some of the blame on the voting public, who overlook some of these deficiencies and these people who want to live off the public trough.
Right.
That's about all I have to say right now. But
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what that substance that guy was shooting, probably cocaine, which kind of made these people want to come back and stay there.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying, but it's shameful. And you there? But anyway, but Steve, what is really difficult to understand is that community had to endure this problem. And I'll just share with, I've talked with some of the people that work for the city refuge department that service that area. And they had concerns. Some of them refused to pick up the trash there because there'd be urine in the bag, there'd be in bags and fecal matter, and they just never knew what was in, right? So they were reluctant. And if you go by there now, and you would be shocked to see. We have a caller called M. M, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. Well, I guess we have to get rid of these tag team guys.
Something.
No, they have too much work and they can't handle it.
Yeah?
Don't tell me they're in the bars drinking while they're supposed to be working.
I guess something is happening because they're able to write letters. And funny part of the letters that you see, for example, Hanneman's letter went to Boys of Career, and then it also went to the complainant. And it's just a letter, okay, I did my duty, I served the public, and I'm done. Don't bother me. I got to go on over here and
go to a meeting and go through my singing.
Right, and I have to go and get, someone's giving me donations today because I gave them a contract.
I'm on the run.
Yeah, and folks, I don't mean to be foul-mouthed about this,
no.
but I am, when you stand over there and see the potential of what happened, and see, for me, I see it every day, maybe 10 times a day, these instances were, and I won't throw up my hands and give up, but I am a little disappointed in the taxpayers. I mean, when at some point, forget about who's voting for whom.
It seems like they're not doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Out there having fun.
Yeah, and
our dime.
Yeah. And I'm looking at some of this coverage and that we're getting. Maybe I missed something, and I attempted to read every document or every article. I didn't see a single document for what the mayor had to say on this one.
If that guy that was drinking, like the guy said, he should have been fired.
Mm-hmm. But
it's unacceptable. I know people who work real hard,
yeah.
And they get ill. And they ask for something, and they don't give it to them.
Right.
Tell them you got to go. You can't do the job. You don't know what you're doing.
Right.
The person has to put his head down and walk away. That's the honest citizen.
Right. But
these little fraudulent people get away with it. We have to check on these things.
Well, we don't have to have an act of Congress. All we have to do is an act of vote. And I'm here to tell you, Kalihi is
flabbergasted when I saw that.
And I mean, it's problematic is that the government, the city government, state government, seem to not care about the communities in Waianae, Whitmore Village, Kalihi, and those areas. They seem to turn a blind eye, and wherever there's big business or someone that has money to fight them, they drag it out. For 5 years now. I'm sorry, this goes on for 6 years. Can you imagine that? Calling the government office for 6 years and getting no results.
Wow, that's something. Well, and probably the buddy-buddy gang again coming into action.
Right. Well, all I can say is that
it's in there.
Yeah.
You have to correct these things. It's unacceptable.
Well, that's what I mean by vote smart, Em.
Right. Vote smart.
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, thank you. I got another caller on the line, but thank you again, and I hope that the listeners out there don't take what I say to inflame you or incite you.
Mr. Cox for mayor, Mr. Cox.
Oh, no, thanks. No, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
I'll serve the people just the way I'm trying now.
We're grateful that you're there for us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Jim?
Carol, this is Jim Brewer.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments that I think are applicable.
Okay.
Back in the mid-'80s, I helped organize a group called Housing Now. And what we did until 1992 is we brought attention to the homeless situation, and actually we put enough pressure on the governor at the time, that was John Wahey, and they built these homeless villages around the island. And they made some attempts at really trying to solve our homeless problem. And this is what really is behind this. I think that, of course, the person who was violating the law there and having people there, I don't know how much money the person was making out of it. I don't know what the motivations of the person might be. It might be that the person was just soft-hearted for homeless people. I don't know. But the point is that somebody should have been housing these folks. There should have been housing available for these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to bring attention to the fact that after 1992, it seemed like that homelessness had become invisible enough that the city could get away with disbanding its housing department. Now, can you imagine a city the size of Honolulu not having a housing department? See, if we'd had a housing department, this thing could have been handled a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if we'd had a housing department, maybe we would have approached this problem the way that it should be approached. And that is to basically decide that we're going to protect the local people, the people who've paid the price of paradise through working hard here, maybe several generations, and for Native Hawaiians,
mm-hmm.
You know, for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that what we find today in the housing situation in Hawaii is that about one half of Native Hawaiians can no longer afford to live in Hawaii, their homeland. They've been displaced to the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen how they've handled this over the years. They try to just make it disappear. They move it around from park to park. They harass homeless. They take benches away at Fourth Street Mall, at the bus stops and whatnot, and certainly, I'm a bus rider, and I want to ride. I'm a park user. I want
mm-hmm.
to use our parks and whatnot. But the thing is that what we're talking about here is a real policy failure. We don't have affordable housing. I think it, and so if you don't have affordable housing, people are either going to have to go homeless. They're going to have to double up first. You have invisible homeless. These are the people who are doubled and tripled up. You have maybe 15, 18 people living in a one-bedroom apartment or a two-bedroom apartment.
Right, but what do you do, though? I mean, when you have an administration, see, you and I can define this and identify the problems, but we're not the experts, and we don't have the regulatory authority. We don't have the enforcement authority. See, people are telling, I'm hearing we've identified all of the homeless and the issues and all. The issue is we know the problem. People like you are telling us the problem and telling our officials. The crux of it is, or the failure, is that our government is failing us.
Yeah, but I think that enforcement is just one part of it.
I understand that.
One part is policy.
Right. And
policy in this state is to make people who are homeless invisible. either by ejecting them. It seems that I've heard Native Hawaiians tell me over and over what happens with Hawaiian families is they become homeless and they move in with relatives. And then family tensions develop and whatnot, so then they go to Waianae and live mm-hmm. in the parks. And then after they're harassed out of the parks in Waianae, they end up going to Puna on the Big Island.
So you're saying then and it's the administration or the government that's pushing this, I mean, fueling it, making
yeah.
it worse by making them invisible, it's the policies?
Well, yeah, and let me, that goes to who does make policy about who gets affordable housing.
Okay, we're running out of time here. What are you going to say right quick?
Okay, the people who make policy about homelessness on this island are the people who have the money, who make money off of selling expensive housing.
Okay.
The big landowners.
Okay.
You have the Land Use Research Foundation, which gives them all their statistics, their databases, and whatnot, so they can develop their strategy to keep people coming in, and the Board of Realtors and the real estate speculators. Basically, what we have is what they would call gentrification of an entire state.
Okay. So what does that have to do with this specific situation? I'm looking for solutions here. Give me a call. I'd really like to talk about the homeless issue.
Right.
But right now, I have a cancerous tumor. I'm staring at it.
Right.
I don't want to become theoretical.
Okay,
I want to know why.
Has to be done is the mayor has to take responsibility. This is our island, and he is supposed to be. Maybe next week it'll be Ann Kobayashi. But the thing is, whoever is going to be the mayor in the next week or so, they need to find housing for these folks.
Right.
And it's as simple as that.
Okay.
But then they have to also put legislation in there to reinstate the housing department. They have to make it so that our property taxes here are graduated so that the very wealthy who come in here, that's what's happening.
Okay.
Is you have the very wealthy come in with a million, $2 million in their pocket.
Right.
And they run up the price of a property here.
Okay. Hey, Jim.
And then what happens is...
Jim, I got to go.
Okay.
I got you. Get back with me on this.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, that... And I would be interested if you would give me a call this evening. I'd like to set up something because I'm going to talk to some of the other people dealing with homelessness issues.
Okay.
and talk. But right now, we're talking about a monster that collapsed in the property in Gulick Street, and people could have died, and the government was there, did nothing, and where's the mayor?
As a matter of fact, they should be held accountable legally. In other words, the attorney general of the,
right.
of the state, the governor, should... If the city won't prosecute itself, of course, then the state needs to do it.
Okay. But anyway, thank you for calling in. And I did want to talk real briefly. This draft environmental impact statement that the mayor sent out this smokescreen. Folks, if you need an example of why not to vote for this guy, Mufi Hanneman, just look how he handed you the environmental impact statement. I asked the mayor's office for a copy of the, quote, formal authorization from the federal government that would authorize them to release the executive summary on the draft environmental impact statement. They can't find one. Finally, I got a call back from Bill Brennan. Sorry to get back to you so late. Have been busy with a number of media inquiries on a variety of issues. I do not have a copy of the letter from the Federal Transportation Authority formally authorizing the release of the DEIS. We have a state agency here, the Office of Environmental Quality. They're the ones, this thing should have been filed as recent as October 28th, we would have known. So it was a smokescreen. If you buy it, don't complain. You have an opportunity to come Tuesday, and hopefully we're not having this discussion and repeating itself. Again, thank you for joining in. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can reach us at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.